What's up, dirtbags? Welcome to episode 264 of the Midwest Angler Podcast. I'm Scott Sturman, and I'm joined by Matt Deitch. What's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. How about yourself?
Just living the dream.
Trying.
Living the dream. Yep. Hard to believe. 264 episodes in. That's pretty freaking wild.
It is pretty wild that, you know, and no major arguments or anything like that.
Yeah, we've been able to keep the wheels on the train heading in somewhat of the right direction.
No, we haven't had to settle any disputes by any leg wrestling on the basement floor.
Well, it's here, about to go down because we got to hash out the teams because there's people stupid enough to think that your team would beat mine. So
no, just,
if there's ever going to be
realize
an argument,
there's a bunch of
intelligent
dirtbags out there.
So. You're such an idiot. Before we get into that, let's get to something a little bit more important, and that is our friends over at Dakota Angler that are bringing you episode 264. Dakota Angler up there on the north side of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. They have 20% off VMC, Suffix, and Rapala tools and knives. And with that, let's just... Actually, let's face the fact that spring is actually here now.
Right.
I mean, we are getting a lot of rain. I think that's going to be good for all the lakes in the area.
Yeah, we needed. I mean, all the bodies of water around here needed the moisture, and you know, like it makes it tough for us to get out there and do some fishing. But we definitely needed this to hopefully it sustains throughout the summer.
Yeah, I think Spirit Lake is actually spilling over the
is
spillway
now.
Yep.
Good.
If it's not like it only needed an inch to go, and we've got rain coming all day tomorrow. And by tomorrow, I'm talking about Tuesday is tomorrow. Internet is down in the house right now. Kind of a weird deal. I called down to Premier today because I actually had a credit on my account, and I was going to talk to them about that, and they're like, hey, we can actually boost your internet to a higher speed for less money. Well, that seems like a no-brainer. Sign me up and get home, and I got zero internet.
Right.
So I don't
need to get it back because you know why?
Because I need to upload this dang podcast.
Well, not only that, you know what else you need to do on there?
Get on DakotaAngler.com and use code DIRTBAG at checkout?
You definitely do. Check out their...
You're not as dumb as you look.
Check out their big variety of inventory that they have there that you can find about anything you need for all your fishing needs, especially here in the, you want to call it the spring of the year before we get into summer, and start loading up and take advantage of all those sales that they got going on right now, because what always happens? You're always like, oh, it's, you know, it's 20% off right now. Yeah, I should get some. And you hee-haw about it.
I will in a
it.
Couple weeks.
Right. And then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, I should have bought it back then. Or you try to go buy something and they're sold out. So buy it now. Go online if you can't make it up there. If you can make it up there, definitely do. If you're running out to the Missouri River, you're heading up to northeastern South Dakota, or you're just going to fish in southeastern South Dakota, swing on in and talk to those fellas, and they'll get you pointed in the right direction. They'll get you the best bait around, and pick up a few things while you're in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, it's rainy. It's, you know, it's cooler weather right now. Why not check out their inventory of rain suits that they got going on right there, or sweatshirts and all the clothing? They don't just have all the fishing stuff. They got all the gear you need.
Yep, you bet. Rolling that into the spring shoreline cleanup. We still got some time to do that. Still feels like spring. I don't remember. I don't think we talked about it last week, but Nick Height Camp actually reached out and talked to us. Wants to have a kids division of the spring shoreline cleanup, and I believe he's got two $50 Dakota Angler gift cards that he threw up for that. So a kids division. You know, I'm going to go out and say it. There's a lot of people that say, wow, that's so awesome that, that you're doing that spring shoreline cleanup, man, that's so cool. And then they don't ever submit anything.
Right. That's the crazy thing about it. It always gets me going. They're always just like, this is awesome. It's like, okay, like all you got to do is, go pick up some trash, take a picture with it and post it on our Facebook post.
Honestly, guys, it's like just that we are
easy.
Telling you, if you walk in a ditch and you pick up two water bottles and a pop can, that's good enough. We are not, you don't have to fill up 25 garbage bags full. Like, just get out. if you don't live close to a shoreline, fine. Go to the local park. Go to a ditch. Go to a cornfield behind your house. I don't care. There's garbage everywhere. Just go out and pick up a couple things. Post it on the page. Get entered. Spring Shoreline Cleanup. We got a lot of cool things. We got a trout trip up in northeast Iowa with Rod Wotan. We've got Dakota Angler Sodak boxes. We've got Dakota Angler gift cards. Get out there. Get entered. Be a part of the cool thing. And, win yourself some stuff.
Yeah, and even if you don't win anything, like Scott said, you're doing something good.
Yep.
We all need to do that more.
Yep. All right, now we got to get down to business. Got to get down to business and talk about these teams that we created last week.
Both awesome, solid teams. Both of them were awesome, solid teams.
Just one of them is more awesome and solid, and that's Team Scott.
And the dirtbags, listen.
I didn't tally up the votes, but I think you may have actually had more votes, and I don't know if that's because people... Did you tally it up?
I know, but I feel like
you did have more people, and that to me is freaking wild.
I'm telling you right now, I think a lot of it has to do with just they see the John Hoyer at the top, and they just think, well, okay, yeah, that's. I mean, Dewey Gelm is just as good, so I'm not going to say he's better, but he's just as good.
He's better.
No, I'm not going to say it, man.
Okay. Put your money where your mouth is. $100. Whoever finishes higher in the next NWT tournament.
All right.
Right here?
Did you say?
$100.
$100? All right.
All right. Shake on it.
Where are they at?
Shake on it. I don't know. I don't care.
I don't care either. $100. John Hoyer is going to finish higher than Dewey Gelm.
Nope. You basically just donated to me.
I don't care. I probably owe you something. I probably owe you anyways. So, $100. You guys heard it, dirtbags.
Yep. Then who's your top bass fisherman on your list?
I'd have to say
Seth Fighter, I think, is who you had. All right. Next tournament. $100. Jay Jacurit or Seth Fighter?
Man, I don't know. I'm not betting $100 on that one.
You can't put your money where your mouth is because Scott Sturman's team is better.
No, I'm not saying it's better. Not the team all the way around. In the next tournament, they're in South Carolina, and Jay's just kind of – it's going to set up for his style of fishing more than Seth's.
So. They're in a spot in the country that don't set up for Jay's style of fishing because he's better.
If they were up on Mille Lacs, if they're up at you know, St. Clair or something after
smoke. He'd beat them there once a week and twice on Sunday.
Yeah.
Championship Sunday.
Uh-huh. No, I think
– want to know who's got a blue trophy? Jay Jacurit.
So does Seth Fighter.
Yeah, but it was an Angler of the Year tournament.
Oh, that's all right. Pat Schlapper has a blue trophy, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. All right.
You got Pat Schlapper? Yeah, you do.
Yeah, so yeah.
Austin Felix has a blue trophy.
Yeah, but he's been fishing terrible. Although, shout out to Austin Felix. He got a little baby on the way. So
that's right. Got married.
Yep.
Kicking out crumb snatchers. Heck yeah. Nope. But no, I think so here's my thought on this. And correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but I'm just going to throw this out there. I think it is easier for a walleye fisherman, a guy that is truly dialed in walleye fisherman. We're talking John Hoyer, Dewey Gelm, like, you know, the best walleye fisherman in the world. I think it is easier for them to go and catch bass and bluegill than it is for a hardcore panfish guy to go and catch walleye and bass.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. I know what you're saying there.
I'm not saying that you know, catching panfish is easy. I'm not trying to say that. You got a couple people on Facebook who think that they're the panfish messiahs and, you know, they won like one tournament 7 years ago and so they won't shut up on Facebook.
Does that mean that I am one? Since I won the Craig Teason
Memorial Tournament. You should throw that around a little bit more on Facebook. Let people know.
That's how I'm going to start leading as a previous panfish tournament winner.
That's right. Like, I'm just letting you know. Yeah.
Hey guys, Have I ever told you about the time?
Rod Wotan, the double champ.
Right.
Double champ. I mean, if you...
Yeah, back to back. He almost went for the dynasty. I mean, Rod was almost a dynasty himself.
I think it's... You guys need to be doing panfish panels, like a traveling panfish panel.
Rod and I.
Where you just, you show up to local bait shops and just sit there and...
Unannounced.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Unannounced. No one knows that you're coming, not even the bait shop.
No, owner. That's what I mean.
You just sit in the aisles and say, nope, 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 that ain't going to catch them. That ain't going to catch them.
First time, huh?
Don't ever actually tell them.
That's my favorite one to say. Oh, first time, okay.
Yep. So yeah, like I said, I think it's easier for the walleye fishermen to go and catch. I think you can be a really good pan fisherman. I think you can be a really good bass fisherman. I think it would be harder for the good pan fishermen and the good bass fishermen to go out and specifically do well on walleye. And so you know, I'm kind of weighted more heavily into the walleye side, but I mean God knows Will Pappenfuss can go and smack some bluegills.
Just an all-around fisherman.
Yep. I don't know. I think it's a no-brainer. I think I whooped you. I think I'd...
Pfft. I'm not going to... No, I'm not... I won't go off and say whooped. My team is going to beat yours. It's going to be a close... It's going to be a close victory, but it's going to be a victory nonetheless. I mean...
No, if
it don't matter if we win by 1/10 of an ounce or by 20 pounds. I mean... Still won at the end of the day.
Now, if my team gets into a tournament against your team 20 times, they beat you 21 times.
Nah.
Maybe 22.
Well, this ain't that one time, so, and this is a one-time tournament, so we beat you all day. You're one of them theory fishermen that just, in theory, this is how it's going to work. You're a paper fisherman. Everything on paper. You win on paper, but brass, when it comes down to brass tacks, you just... Not getting it done with this tournament.
I can't, like, the audacity of Mockentune to text both of us and say Matt's team would win.
See?
He'd
go up on the highest point.
I about unfriended him.
I know you were kind of heated that morning. He'd go up on the highest point in Minnesota and yell it up from the top of his lungs, but he is the highest point in Minnesota.
That's right. If he goes out his backyard and gets into the skyscraper, then then you're really high.
Only guy that can't get lost around him in him. So I can't take shots at him because he was supporting me.
Yeah, piss on him. I don't even like that dude anymore. I don't even like that dude. Euler texted me and said my team would win. Yeah. Euler's always been real.
Yeah,
Mockentune's always been fake.
He's worried about your mental health, and he's just talking you off.
No, that ain't true. That's a dude that knows fishing.
Yeah.
He knows quality tournament anglers. All right. Speaking of quality tournament anglers, today we have we've got a young gun on the show.
Yes, we do.
Waze Rash, an Iowa guy, going to go on and fish collegiately. He's fishing at the high school level right now. And just something that that we've never dove into. Matt shot me a text, or I don't know, one of the times when we were talking here a few weeks ago, and said, "Hey, here's a guy I think we ought to try to have on." Matt talked to him this morning or this afternoon. Waze agreed to come on and officially be a dirtbag on this program. So without further ado, let's cut over to him. Hey, Waze, how you doing today?
Doing great.
All right.
Good.
Thanks for being on the show, episode 264, and you are our first ever high school angler, so let's dive right into it. No, actually, before we dive into it, we got a couple of random questions. Waze, I want to know, if I would hop in your vehicle right now, what kind of music are you listening to?
Oh, my gosh. It varies quite a bit. I'm torn between like the 70s and 80s, and then sometimes I want some new rap music. But if we're feeling in the older mood, I guess we could go with maybe like some Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, wow. Baby! Yeah,
I don't know if he thinks that we're that old or what. That he's just trying to kind of like go with the like. I don't know. That's way before us too. So
no, I love Fleetwood Mac.
Oh no, I listen to it all too.
That's good. And then I don't know, any just a good beat with some rap music, I guess I can get into that, and then obviously country music.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
So if you had to pick your stage song right now, because everybody that, you know, fishes bass tournaments competitively always has that in the back of their head, what their walk-up song would be.
Oh, man. I guess I'd probably steal one from Seth Biter. I'd have to do Trophies.
Trophies?
Yeah. Well, that's right. A heck of a song to play. You're walking up.
Can you grow a stash like Fighter, or are you still not to that stage yet?
No, I grow a couple scragglies now, and I got to shave them so I don't look like a high schooler that can't grow facial hair. But
we got a buddy Garrett. We got a buddy Garrett Cox has been working on the same 8 hairs for like the last 4 years.
He might be up to about 11 by now.
Yeah, I'm 35 and I can't pull it off. So don't worry, don't worry. All right, one more. What's your favorite ice cream?
Oh, man, I was just telling my buddies this morning that I wanted to get ice cream, so this is perfect. You know, this is very basic, but just some plain vanilla ice cream from Dairy Queen.
Okay.
Dairy Queen, yeah, you can't go wrong. Dairy Queen is smooth. Right. You just can't go wrong with it sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's just like you're in that mood, and it's just like, you know what? Just good old-fashioned vanilla.
Yep, that's right.
And a bonus for you guys, I think they're gone now, but them Shamrock Shakes... Holy cow. They're pretty good.
Are they minty?
They are minty.
Yeah. I'm a fan. No way. We don't do mint ice cream.
That's probably why the McDonald's ice cream machine is always broken down.
Yeah, I break it. No.
Uh-oh.
No. I mean, I got to throw one out there too.
All right. Well, what do you got?
I'm going to say, what's your favorite cut of steak? You're going to go get a steak. What are you going to order?
Probably ribeye.
Ribeye, yeah. You just can't really. It's.
And you're a medium rare guy, aren't you?
I am a medium rare guy.
Yeah, you seem like a medium rare guy. That's good. That's good. You seem good. That's good.
We're going
to try to be normal.
Yeah, we're going to say if you went well done, we were going to be like, well, all right, it was nice talking to you. best of luck.
Mint ice cream and well done steaks. Yep, all right. On to the next one. All right. So Waze, where are you from?
I'm from, I've been saying northwestern Iowa, but people around here have told me it's more of a western Iowa than a northwestern Iowa. I'm not quite up in, like, Orange City.
Oh, we're farther northwest than Orange City, even.
Right. We're in the corner.
Okay.
We're in Rock Rapids.
Okay. I'd be south of Storm Lake about 30 minutes. Most people don't know where Oldable Iowa is, but they know where Storm Lake is.
Oh, they know where it is after this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yep. And we've got a listener from the show that's from down in that area, Creighton Allen. His dad is a football coach down there.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you know Creighton, but I know he's an OABCIG, and I actually, I've got family over in Denison. Well, actually, Schleswig. But that's really a town no one's heard of.
Yeah. No, I know them all. That's good.
Yep. So being from Odiebold, Iowa, where do you fish? Like, I guess in my mind, I think, what is there, like a Yellow Smoke Lake outside of Denison or something like that? But where's the nearest real body of water to fish there?
The nearest real body of water, it's in Lakeview. It's called Black Hawk Lake.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
That's my home pond. It takes me about a good 20 to 25 minutes from my garage to get there.
Well, that ain't bad.
I live on gravel about a mile, so I'm pulling the boat at about 10 miles an hour on the gravel road, so we don't get her too dusty and rock chipped. But
yep.
Yeah.
And is that a pretty big lake?
No, it's about 800-900 acres. Not big, but I mean decent size for Iowa. You can actually drive your boat, which is nice. You don't have to idle around.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Is it a pretty stumpy lake? Is there a lot of like flooded timber in there, or is it pretty clean?
It's not. It's actually the furthest south glacial lake in Iowa.
Oh, really? All right.
So it's a natural, silty, shallow, muddy lake, essentially.
Okay. And largemouth.
Yep. Just
harsh. Okay. And you just grew up fishing bass there?
So, yes, I did. I think I went crappie fishing there a little bit, like maybe once or twice when I was younger before I kind of got into fishing. Or at least when I say get into fishing, I mean the obsession that it's kind of taken over on me now.
Yep.
But yeah, I go bass fishing there. Anymore, it's all bass pretty much.
Yep. And I mean, were you always a bass fisherman? I mean, or do you have early memories of fishing with your grandpa at Okoboji for bluegills, or has it just always kind of been bass?
I do have early memories. So I think the earliest memory that I can recall right now, I believe I was 4 years old, and every year my family goes on vacation up in northern Minnesota, and that was kind of the time where we just go fishing at a vacation. So we have a good family friend of ours that has a cabin up there, small little place called Outing, Minnesota. And we'd go up there, and he had a pontoon boat that he'd let us fish off of and a little paddle boat. I remember going out there by myself and fishing too and that. And we'd just go crappie fishing basically and catch some bluegills too. But that was kind of the earliest memories I had going fishing. And that was pretty much it. Once that week was over, it was, you know, kind of back to Iowa where there's not near as much water.
Yeah. So then, like, what moment was it, like, or did you, like, watch a lot of fishing shows on TV? Maybe somebody gave you, like, a Bassmaster magazine or something like that, or maybe just through YouTube or the internet. What, like, kind of sparked your interest in bass fishing?
So what sparked my interest in bass fishing was definitely the YouTuber bass fishing scene. You know, like watching the Guggen Squad, some of that stuff. Not really the Guggen Squad as it is today, but watching the individual guys kind of up in Chicago and in Nebraska and stuff. That's kind of what, you know, made me from sitting at home watching the video going, hey, that looks kind of cool. And realizing that, you know, they're not too far away from me. That's what sparked the interest for sure to want to bass fish.
And at what point did you start getting into the tournament scene?
So I believe I was, I don't know how old I was. I was in eighth grade. I remember it was the summer of my eighth grade year. And my buddy and I had been bass fishing for a couple years now and, you know, having fun doing that. And then it kind of changed. I remember he told me, he goes, hey, do you want to fish a tournament? And I said, yeah, I kind of like to do that and whatnot. So he ended up signing us up for the biggest high school tournament at the time you could possibly do. And it was the high school fishing world finals up on the Lacrosse in 2020. I think there was like 400 boats. And that was my first ever tournament experience.
Baptism by fire.
Yeah, jump right in.
It was, we got thrown to the wolves pretty much. I remember it like yesterday though. There was a lot of memories that came from that and a lot of learning quick.
Well, yeah, especially on that body of water. I mean, for your first tournament to jump on the almighty Mississippi and hit up all those places. I mean, do you fish rivers a lot, or was this like the first time really getting on a big river like that and fishing?
Oh yeah, this was the first ever river that I'd ever fished. It was interesting. I actually remember this. So I remember they were shutting everything down in the COVID year and whatnot, and we actually couldn't have it in Lacrosse, so they had it out of Stoddard. And I remember there's a boat ramp right there that they launched all the boats out of, and the town of Stoddard, the ramp wasn't as big as the ones in Lacrosse, you know, so I remember the lines being just insanely long and all that stuff, and of course the nerves were going, waiting in line, but anyways, it kind of launches in a backwater area, so you're not even really on the main river channel,
right.
And I remember we fished like the two islands right by the boat ramp, and that was pretty much it the whole tournament.
did you guys have a bass boat or did you go up there with just a John boat or?
So I believe, so in that period of me kind of getting into bass fishing, actually got a boat up in central Minnesota. I can't quite remember where it was, but this guy had basically not, he gutted an old aluminum Meercraft boat. So like 16 foot, basically walleye boat, I'd call it. And he made a deck for it and basically shaped it into a bass boat.
Yeah.
And that's what we actually used. Had an old 1978 something Johnson that didn't ever run pretty much. yeah, but no, we didn't have a bass boat.
Nice. Nice. I appreciate a guy that shows up to a bass tournament and like, you know what, piss on this, I'm doing it.
Well, a lot of times, I mean, Scott and I talk to each other about it a lot. Sometimes, like, you think you have to have all of that stuff to be able to go out there and compete or just to do it, and you really don't. I mean, just as long as you got the tournament rules state, and like if you got like a working live well and things like that, I mean, go out there and give it a shot. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and if you really want to hear a funny story, when we were fishing that tournament, so I remember we fished, and it was pretty tough fishing regardless for everybody, but, I mean, we, knowing what we know now, we just were donators pretty much.
gotta have those.
Gotta have those, and I remember we fished the first 2 days. The first day, I think we launched right away. The second day, I mean, we didn't even have any rain gear or anything, and it was like in June. And I think it was like 48 degrees or something. It was pretty chilly. We had no rain gear in the morning. We were waiting for a fog delay until like 10 o'clock. And we were both in sweatshirts, just freezing our butt off. But anyways, third day comes around and there's like pretty bad storm supposedly. And we were pretty sure that they were going to cancel the tournament. And of course now, you know, if they don't cancel the tournament, you're going no matter what. But we didn't know that. And I remember my buddy telling me, so I woke up earlier before him. He said, if the boats are still here, then we're not going to go out there. We'll just go fun fishing around here. And I remember looking out there and seeing a boat that was still there and it wasn't even hooked up to anybody's pickup out of the hotel. And later to find out, that was the high school team's backup boat. So that was a... something we hadn't experienced.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. So at what point in you know, high school tournament fishing did you realize, you know what, there's a next level that's possible. I could go on and do this at college.
There is. So basically I want to say freshman year, I don't think that was, I mean, I knew it existed, but I'd say right around sophomore year is kind of where it became more of a reality that's like, hey, you know, people go and do this. And excuse me, I kind of wanted to take that step, but I wasn't quite sure how to. So I just knew that that's where I wanted to be when I was a sophomore. No intentions of where to go or, you know, who to contact or any of that. Just kind of, you know, I do want to do this when I hopefully, you know, can graduate from high school and go on to college. So then kind of leading in from that, I believe a little over a year ago now, I'm senior in high school currently, but I was, you know, I think in February or something. So everybody got cabin fever. If you're in the Midwest, or at least I do, I can't stand ice fishing. And I remember, you know, going, okay, I need to talk to some of these colleges. Like I'm going to graduate soon. Like, you know, got to get some stuff figured out. And I sent, I think, 4 or 5 emails to some head coaches from these bass fishing schools. And kind of a funny way that I found these bass fishing schools, I had two things that I determined is how far away from home am I going and how good's the school.
Yep.
And not academic-wise, bass fishing-wise.
yeah. Priorities.
So of course. So I ended up looking at the, I believe it's the ACA School of the Year standings and kind of made my list according to that.
And ACA is?
I don't quite know. It's a basically a collegiate.
Maybe like the American, American Collegiate Anglers or something
yeah,
like that.
Okay.
But they do the whole school of the year standings and whatnot for that. So that was kind of interesting, but that's how I made my list. And I'll tell you the truth, I only had one person email me back out of, I think I sent like 5 or 6 emails. Not a bunch, but, you know, enough that I figured wouldn't be hard to get a response. And the person that responded back to me was a guy by the name of Rick Emmett. He's well-known within the fishing industry, but he's now the head coach of the Drury Bass Fishing Team down in Springfield, Missouri. And he told me what I asked for in the email was just to have a phone call with him. That's all I wanted. And I remember setting up that phone call, and I think I talked to him for like maybe 40 minutes or something, and I guess he must have liked what he heard, because he told me he wanted to, you know, have a college visit with me and eat lunch on campus with me, and we got that scheduled in April of that year. And then kind of going from there, you know, over the summer we talked periodically. You know, we talked about kind of what I needed to do. Still had to take my ACT test. You got to get all your stuff squared away and do that. And of course, nobody wants to do that stuff, but
yep, right.
Got to get that done. So, one thing that Rick told me is, you know, especially when I went down there, is we prioritize, I mean, you can't just come to school and go bass fishing. You have to, what he wants you to walk away from is to have a good degree that you can use in the real world. And, you know, for most of the students that are on the bass fishing team, that's to hopefully use it within the fishing industry, but, you know, at least be okay, you know, other than banking in on your bass fishing dream, I guess. And then kind of from there on, we kept talking and kind of narrowing down some other options. I needed to do my ACT, so I took it another time in October, and I took it the first time in October, pardon me. I remember I actually skipped an ACT. I never registered for it, but it was on the date of a tournament championship. And, you know, my priorities last September wasn't to take the ACT. It was, you know, bass fishing in a tournament. So we did that.
I like your style, Waze. Yeah, I like your style a lot.
Yeah. So we did that. And then we took it once in October and wanted to get a little better score. So we took it again, I believe it was this February. And that score was good enough to get accepted into Drury. And basically, you know, Rick told me, I believe after I did that college visit, you know, backtracking a little bit, after I did that college visit, you know, he told me that, you know, he'd like to have, he'd save a spot for me on the bass fishing team, essentially. And that was good. And, you know, just talking with him more. And I'm sure sometimes I wonder if he gets annoyed for me calling him because I didn't like to talk.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of how that came to fruition and got accepted into the school. And, you know, now we're going there in August, and it's going to be a wild ride, but I'm pretty excited.
Now, now what are you going to major in?
So I'm going to major in marketing right now.
Yep.
That's cool. Yep. A lot of people want to ask why I'm not doing fisheries biology or anything like that, or why I don't want to be a DNR officer, but, you know, my kind of goal is to hopefully work within the fishing industry one day, or, you know, I'd love to be a bass fishing professional and, you know, fish tournaments my whole life, but, the reality is you got to pay the bills, and, you know, it is a little bit of a safer option to work for a company within the industry.
Well, yeah, at least go get a job, and then you can go try to fish the opens or do whatever. But you know, to have that safety blanket, you know, the chances are not, you know, It's probably one in a million that, you know, you're going to end up on the Elite Series or something. But, you know, I mean, it's possible. Don't get me wrong. But you got to have something else, you know, have a little something on the side for sure.
Well, and not only that, we all know that professional bass fishing is more than just going out there and fishing, that there's all different aspects of it. And you got to be able to market yourself. If you get on with some awesome sponsors, you got to be able to market them. So getting that education in it, I mean, it's going to open up your eyes to a lot of things. And, I mean, like you said, along with pursuing a professional bass fishing career, it could be like, oh, you know, I really like this aspect of it. And the great thing about high school fishing now and, like, the younger generations getting into it is there are so many options out there. When I was growing up, yeah, you could try to be a professional bass fisherman, but there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, bass fishing tournaments, so to say. It wasn't very popular. About the only route that you could really go was to be a TV personality and have like a fishing show. And, that wasn't an easy route to go down either. So
black and white TVs for you. Yeah, right. There wasn't a ton of the dirty 30s. You know what that was like? Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Drury University, four-year college.
Yes, sir. Sure.
In Springfield, Missouri, not a bad place to be.
Not a bad place at all. It's there's a lot of really good bass fishing lakes around there. You got Lake the Ozarks. It's not too far away. There's Table Rock below it. You got Bull Shoals and Norfolk, just like 2 hours away. You know, Grand Lake. You got Stockton. I mean,
yep.
A lot of very well-known lakes.
Definitely.
Within a couple hours.
Yep. No, that'll be a really cool spot to be in. And like you said, you know, not that incredibly far away from home. You know, you're not driving to Florida, but, you know, you still, you know, still got that southern feel. And
sure.
That'll be a really cool area.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I've got a few mentors, and one of them's lived down there in Springfield for a while. And, you know, he's told me how much he enjoyed it. And, you know, and I do like the distance, about 8 hours away from home, which I'd say probably, you know, 4 years ago, 8 hours would have been quite a long drive, but anymore, 8 hours is just over the hill, you know?
Yep.
So,
yep.
I'm happy with that, but there is only one problem with being down in Springfield.
No, I know what it is. You're going to spend all your money.
Bass Pro Shops. Is that where Bass Pro Shops headquartered is? Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It is.
Yep.
I was gonna say the roads are too curvy down there.
Oh yeah, that's true.
We're not used to that here.
No.
It's hard to go somewhere like that where it's like, oh, it's only 40 miles away. So you're like, it's only gonna take us like 40 minutes maybe. If I drive a little faster, it'd be a little bit shorter time. Pretty soon you're driving for an hour and you're like 40 minutes, like, or 40 miles, like, where is this 40 miles at?
It's they need to teach their cows to walk in straight lines. Because, cow, dang it.
That's the problem. Yeah.
Are you a farm kid?
I am a farm kid. I live on an acreage here, and we got cattle. So
Okay.
Nice. Now, let's talk a little bit. Now, what does it take to fish in college? Like, do you have to be a boat owner to fish in college, or can you go down there and fish out of the back of a boat, or how does that work?
So I believe you can do both. Basically, how the collegiate tournaments work, basically it's a team tournament, essentially, and at least one of the kids needs to own a boat or have a boat, but I know there's kids that are down there that don't have boats that are on the team.
Yep.
You know, and do it that way. So I gotta have a boat. I have a bass boat now, so that's you know, that's what I'm gonna be bringing down there. And if I'm taking that to tournaments and fishing with a team partner, or if I'm, you know, on the weekend or got all my college homework done, or maybe want to just go fishing for a little bit, I'll take it out and go fishing.
Now, how do you get set up with your tournament partner, or do you just go down there and see who you click with, or do you kind of go into it and know? Like, how does that work?
That's a great question. I'm trying to figure that out now.
Okay.
I believe I need to get in contact with a few of the kids, you know, some of the up-and-coming freshmen, and go from there. I actually met some of the team at the Classic in March.
Nice.
So good. I believe they all have partners and whatnot, but just meeting some of the kids. And I think once you get down there, you know, try to start to click and, you know, get the good chemistry going for a good team partner.
Now, do they, like, a while back I saw on social media that you had posted your signing day and everything like that. Do they bring in a lot of people, or is the, like, the Bass team a pretty small group of individuals?
I don't know. I guess I'd say it's one of the, I'd say it's about a mid-range for this school. Okay. I know some schools have a ton of kids on their team. Drury has, I think, 26 kids on their team.
Okay. Yep.
So decent size. You know, about 12, 13 teams. I know there's other kids and schools. I know some kids from Iowa that I fished against that are going to places like Montevallo and stuff. Where, I mean, they got a lot of kids on their team.
I was going to ask you that. Is Drury, you know, I guess I compare this to college football, where there's, you know, Division One football, you know, in the NCAA. Is Drury going to be going up against like Montevallo and Tarleton State and Bethel and whatnot, or is that a different level of competition?
No, yeah, they.
That's
they
all the same.
Yep.
Okay. I didn't know, you know, I guess up until I saw that you signed with Drury, I had not heard of Drury, but up until I got into tournament bass fishing, I had never heard of Bethel or Montevallo neither. So I was just, I didn't know if those were on different levels or where exactly that was at.
Yep. So they have MLF as a collegiate series. I believe ACA does too. They have their own deals, and then so does Bass. And then I believe there's also, you know, like, then you can kind of, that's your national ones. And then there's, like, say for Missouri, for instance, they'll be like, I think Bass puts on a Missouri, I want to say it's like a state nation collegiate type tournament. So
okay.
All the college kids in Missouri or surrounding states, I believe, that are close, you know, can hop into those and do that. And I believe Drury actually does host some of their own tournaments too, for just within the team and that type of stuff.
Nice. Now when you get down there to Springfield, Missouri, they're on the campus of Drury University. You know, like you said, 26 guys on that team, you know, the potential of 26 bass boats down there. You're not going to have your bass boat just parked outside of your dorm room. Do they give you a big old frickin' pool building just that you guys pack them in there, or how does that work?
So Rick knows a guy down in Springfield that just put up some storage units not too long ago.
Okay,
all right.
So we have a deal. I think it's about 10 minutes away from campus that we can go and get our boats and do that. So
yeah, cost you a little bit of money, right, every month, but I mean, at least
peace of mind.
I was gonna say your stuff's getting stolen.
I was gonna ask, like, all that equipment that you got, like, in a little dorm room with a couple guys, and you're both bass fishermen. I mean, it's like, I don't know where we're gonna sleep on some plain old 3700s. They're gonna make a bunk out of these things, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's hopefully there's enough room in the storage unit to put all my tackle, and you know, it's just amazing how much stuff you can acquire. It's insane.
Oh, just put your boat on a boat lift at Lake Okoboji, and you won't have as much as what you did the day before.
Yeah, you'll get a bunch stolen. It happened to poor Scott last summer.
Yeah,
did it?
Yeah, I needed to downsize anyways. I hope they needed it.
He's still a little bitter about that.
I was going to say,
that was one of our
just let a bunch of swear words go. So we're moving on to the next topic. So Waze, do you feel like you're an electronics guy? You're more of a power fisherman and just going to go and beat the bank and beat the docks? I mean, do you feel comfortable getting out into some deep water and I don't know if you're a forward facing sonar guy. What style of fishing is Waze? Ways good at?
Well, it's it seems like there's kind of trends. I'd say, put it this way, the forward facing sonar deal is definitely a hot topic currently, and I'm sure it will be for at least another year. I'm not, so I just got an Active Target 1 transducer. I bought it used, and I put it on my boat last October. So I really haven't had it for all that long. You know, I did it till, messed around with it till ice up, and really didn't use it from October till, I mean, I was fishing in, I think the last day I went out fishing last year was December 28th, and I really didn't use it to its full potential. And I'd say the last month or so, I've started to really see, you know, get really coherent with it. But I'll be honest, I'm not great at it at all. Like, I can hardly catch a bass with it. I can see it being extremely effective, but I can't do it. So yes, I am a pretty big power fisherman. You know, I definitely like to, I flip a bunch of docks. I don't mind putting a crankbait in my hand and just burning some riprap. But I also do like fishing offshore too. You know, kind of the old school way, I guess now, basically. You know, just line up your stuff and dragging stuff through some schools and aisles and whatnot. I really enjoy that.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. It's actually like, I mean, both Matt and I are big proponents of forward-facing sonar, but it's actually refreshing hearing a young person say, you know, I have it. You know, obviously, I'm sure you're trying to get better at it, but, you know, it's not your number one thing. And, you know, I think that a lot of people feel like these young guys, you know, man, the only reason they're good is because, you know, they're so good at their electronics. They couldn't even catch them if they didn't have their electronics. Whereas, you know, obviously, you know, you're basically the direct opposite of that.
Man, it's almost frustrating to hear that. And it is different, you know, where you go in the country. It does change. The farther south you go, they definitely are more susceptible to being caught with it. But man, I got a bunch of high school buddies that I talk to, I fish tournaments with, and we can hardly use the thing. Like, we're not good at it. And part of that, our fish in Iowa don't set up like they do. Like in Missouri, I think we'd all be great at it. And I think even farther north, we'd be a lot better at it if we were fishing smallmouth. Solely, I mean, the only place you can pretty much do that is, you know, Spirit and Okoboji, the way they set up on West. But yeah, we're not video game fishermen. I mean, that's far from the truth. We're pretty bad at it, to be honest. But I'm definitely trying to get better.
Nice.
Well, yeah. That's good. I mean,
yeah,
you can't be afraid of anything, and I think that's what kind of the older generation of anglers, they get a little bit of afraid of something new like that, and they just like to put the blame, like, well, that's just the easy thing. Like, a young kid does well, so it's just because they're really good at that. It's like, no, they're really darn good fishermen, too, just like what you are. Like, maybe stop complaining, and, like, you used to catch them this way. Go out there and catch them yet if you were such a good fisherman.
Yeah, it's I love how people, you know, can assume that you just put on your boat and can, you know, catch 20 pounds.
Yeah, that you're automatically going to go out there.
They just jump into your boat.
Right.
Yeah. It's so far from the truth.
Oh, I know.
And then, you know, the whole kid movement. Like, maybe kids are trying and putting their whole life to this instead of, you know, just dabbling in and out of it.
Well, and you probably can attest to this, just all the information that is at your fingertips. I mean, you growing up could go onto YouTube, or growing up, you're still growing up, but go on YouTube, go search the internet for things, and you got just all this information and stuff like that, where, like, when I was growing up, like, what we saw on TV on some of the shows is what we were learning from, or if we subscribe to, like, a Bassmaster Fishing or In Fisherman magazine, I mean, that's how we were learning our stuff, you know, just, like, tool tricks and, you know, tips and stuff like that. But now, I mean, a guy can go online and find whatever he wants. If you got a question on, oh, you know, I heard about somebody drop shotting. Okay. You go on there and it's just like, oh, there it is. You know, you're getting tips from a pro right there on YouTube, and you can go out there and be like, all right, let me tie this up and try it. And
Yeah. It's there's so much information right now. And I almost think sometimes there's too much, it seems.
There is. You can get go down that rabbit hole and then second guess yourself and start questioning, like, oh, maybe I'm doing this wrong. And you've been having success with it, but you're like, well, you know, well, I need to throw this color instead because this is what these guys throw. And it's just like, well, no, just stick with what you're good at.
Well, and the thing with the internet is anyone gets to say what they want. No, not all the sources are credible.
Yep. That's so what I've kind of noticed from, you know, getting all this knowledge from, so the way I kind of can do it is, you know, say there's a new technique, like you said, say I want to go out and drop shotting. Well, or go out and catch my own drop shot. Basically, there are a lot of, you know, YouTube channels that they post the same thing and the same tips. Yeah. They're no different than anybody else, and it's pretty much recycled. Whether they learn that themselves or not, it is, like, you can hardly find somebody saying something different. So that's always kind of, you have to keep that in your mind. So if you do hear something a little bit different than, you know, the other five guys you watch, it might be right. And the other deal is, you know, you can watch as much as you want, and I've definitely done it with some techniques that I'm horrible at, and you can go out there and you can't get a bite, and it doesn't make any sense till you can get, like, the first couple bites.
Yep.
And then you can kind of start to understand what they're talking about. At least that's kind of how I do it.
No, I totally agree with you there. It's, I mean, like, you can sit there and watch jerkbait videos, you know, all day long until you're out there and you're like, you get a cadence down and you feel that first bite. You're just like, oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah. You can, I mean, that's a great example of a jerkbait. I've been, you know, kind of questioning if I can catch a bass on it, to be honest. And, you know, I had, you know, some good jerkbait days down at Lake of the Ozarks earlier this year. And, that was good. And then I came back to Iowa and it's like, what in the heck am I doing wrong? Like, I'm talking to Nick Sibker about it, and, you know, he's like the jerkbait king in Iowa, and he's like, yeah, I smashed him. It's like, wow, yeah. Couldn't get a bite.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah. Like you said, time on the water is still the greatest lesson.
100%. Yeah, it's, I try to do it as much as I possibly can. It's not easy.
No, you know? Especially being, you know, a high school kid. I mean, you've got classes all day, and it's not like you're working a job so you can afford all the gas money, because we all know that gas sure isn't cheap, so.
It's not cheap. There's a lot of different ways you can cut some spending, which I'll go out and sleep in the back of my pickup and do all that stuff and camp, and it helps quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, definitely cuts down for sure.
What does the rest of your summer look like as far as tournaments go?
The rest of my summer, it's all busy till August, and then once August hits, I basically stopped putting stuff on the schedule and realized two things: that I was maybe going to run out of money, and that I was going to go to college.
Yeah.
So, you know, fishing some tournaments up in South Dakota, doing some TBF stuff. Going to Traverse, Lake Traverse, never been there. That'll be interesting. And then going to Sharp, that'll be fun. And then Oahe, up here the 1st and 2nd of June. I think it's the Governor's Cup.
Yep.
Fishing that with a buddy I met last fall. Chasing, I love fishing the Missouri River chain. I love smallmouth, but looking forward to that stuff. And I've been fishing a ton of tournaments at Okoboji the past 2 weeks, and it's going to be the next 3 more weeks. I have tournaments up there.
Are you going to fish the Open this weekend, or what are you fishing?
I am fishing the Open this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
All right.
I hope I don't donate my money, but we're gonna try.
Go give her hell.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It's a fun tournament.
Yeah. You can get right in a hurry up at Okoboji.
Yeah, it doesn't. You're never out of it until, I mean, you can stumble across those big ones at any second and get multiple ones.
Yeah, my buddy, one of my high school buddies actually caught 26.5 pounds last weekend up there, so.
Yeah, I think I saw that it took 31 to win one of the tournaments this past weekend.
Yeah, I know that guy. His name's Jacob Clark.
All right.
He's a cool dude, so yeah, I was happy to see that for him. I was actually So I fished the high school, my last high school state tournament there, this last Saturday, and I opted out of fishing. I fished the weekend Warrior Bass Tournament solo series.
All right.
So I opted out of fishing that Okoboji one, which was probably a good thing because I probably would have got my butt whooped. So.
So you drive back and forth then, or you stay up at Okoboji?
I do actually. I'll camp. You know, I do it for some tournaments, but you know, just the 1 day tournaments and that type of stuff. I'm driving back and forth. I think it's about an hour and 25 minutes to.
That's not too bad.
It's not. I have been driving back and forth quite a bit. We're not even close to being halfway there, so it's I mean, I know the drive like the back of my hand pretty much. So it's I love going up there. That's my 100% my favorite lake.
It is fun. Yeah.
It's fun until the people get there.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah. About 10 o'clock Memorial, in the morning.
Yeah, Memorial Day to Labor Day is kind of can have its times and its places, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool place.
Now, Waze, before we let you go, I don't know. I mean, do you at your level at the high school level? Do you have any sponsorships? Do you got anyone that you want to give a shout out to that's helping you?
For sure, I do. One thing. So I'm not. I did just fish a high school tournament, but I think all the I call them old man tournaments. Might get in trouble for that, but
nah, we're all old guys that fish them. So
I call
weekend tournaments.
Weekend tournaments. There you go. And so I haven't really been fishing many high school tournaments. I've tried to take that jump and try to put myself around the best competition, which I mean, I love high school stuff, and the group of kids that does it is super fun to be around. But yeah, I do actually have some sponsors individually. I'm working with SCSB. That's a bank, Shelby County State Bank. They've stepped up and helped me out this year. I also work at Lundell Plastics. Vance Lundell, he's been helping me out this year too. Shamrock Boat Sales in Carnarvon, Iowa. They're a great place to check out your boat, and if you got any troubles, Jesse or Jeff can definitely help you out there. I do work a little bit with Omnia Fishing. They definitely helped me out with some stuff and getting tackle and all that, and kind of with the premium pro app they have set up. And then my biggest sponsor is the Iowa Great Lakes Fishing Club. They're kind of, I just told you it's my favorite lake in the world, and what better than a club that's, solely based around, the Iowa Great Lakes, which is, something I have a huge passion for, and they do as well, and keep that place, in pristine, and do some events for the public up there, and, Milford, and that area, so.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're a good deal for it, so. Awesome. Yeah, I do. Help me. I'm very blessed. Wouldn't trade it for the world, and, super grateful.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. And just about to graduate in a couple weeks.
I am. I'm actually going to miss my high school graduation for a tournament.
Hell yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Just sign the diploma and put her in the mail.
Deuces.
I got to go bass fishing.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'm pretty sure I'm not walking. I might, but I'm pretty sure we'll be weighing in instead of walking. We'll be walking across the good stage with water and slime on the ground instead of, diploma.
Yeah. It's the things that matter.
Of course.
Yep. Heck yeah, Waze. Well, we appreciate you joining us, and hopefully we'll catch up with you out on the water over at Okoboji at some point. Otherwise, hopefully maybe a year from now we check in with you and figure out how college is going for you.
Sure. Yeah. No, I really appreciate you guys reaching out to me and having me on.
Awesome. All right. Thanks a lot, pal.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Bye. There he goes, Waze Rash. Very cool to hear that side of fishing, obviously the high school level, but now the college level. You know, I think that there was probably a long time where, you know, you spent too much time fishing, and they'd say, you know, quit that. Go focus on something. Well, hey.
Yeah, what are you going to do with
actually,
that?
Well, I'm actually going to go ahead and go to college for that. So, pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I think we've both talked about it before. Like, if that was something that was going on back when we were in school, I mean, it's definitely an avenue that a person can pursue now, and you're starting to see more and more teams – our colleges up in this area starting to have teams, you know, more high schoolers trying to put fishing clubs and stuff together with their, through their high schools and stuff like that. So it's pretty awesome.
Yep. All right. Actually, before we cut over to good news stories of the week brought to you by our friends at Freedom Brew, I got something else for you, Matt.
Ooh, what do you got?
I got something else for you.
Springing a surprise on me.
I got a frozen pizza review.
It's
been, boom. Yeah, I think it's been since probably.
Did you get a message from Josh Strand tonight?
I did. He was cooking up some frozen pizza. I've been getting some from a few people. And, you know, I've actually done a couple frozen pizzas, but I wasn't doing them on a consistent basis. I'm not saying that I'm going to consistently start knocking them out once a week again, but, either way, you know, the people liked it. I liked doing it. Maybe not the best for my health. You know, I'm taking days off my life for you guys. But this one, something a little bit different, something that I hadn't done before. We're talking a Great Value. So that's the Walmart brand. Thin and crispy crust barbecue style chicken pizza. And I actually, for this one, I think I did 400 or 425 in the oven, preheated it with a stone in there, took the stone out, you know, let the stone get to temp, took it out, threw that pizza on there. It said straight on the rack, 10 to 12 minutes. I think I went on a stone for like closer to 15, 16 minutes, got out, nice crunch. I'm gonna go out and say, like, I was kind of actually blown away by this Great Value Walmart brand pizza. It's more of a budget pizza. I don't think it was probably over $5 much, if it was. I gotta say, a lot of toppings. Every single bite that you took had a chunk of chicken on it. Very impressed in that regard. I just didn't love the barbecue sauce. It wasn't bad. But barbecue sauce is one of those deals. Like, I'm kind of particular on my barbecue sauce. Overall, could have easily knocked it out of the park if that barbecue sauce was just a smidge better. The barbecue sauce, I'm going to say, you know, probably a 6 out of 10. But overall, I'm going to say the pizza, 7.3.
Nice.
7.3.
That's not bad for a value. I mean, that's a dang good
value pizza.
I mean, 7.3 value pizza is pretty darn good in my opinion.
Dang right.
I mean, you can go there like, you know, ways you're heading to college next fall. I mean,
you get after some
get
of them.
After some of those. I mean, why spend $10 on a frozen pizza when you can spend $5 and then you can spend another $5 and get yourself some tackle?
Yeah, chatterbait.
Yeah. There you go.
Not a jackhammer, but an original.
Right.
But an original. All right. Got another frozen pizza review in there. Moving on. Good news stories of the week brought to you by our friends over at Freedom Brew in Larchwood, Iowa. If you're into coffee, if you are in the tri-state area, the South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa tri-state area, swing by Larchwood, Iowa. See Brianna and get yourself some Freedom Brew. Try a taste of freedom.
You won't be disappointed.
Absolutely, you will not. It is the official go juice of dirtbags like you, like me, like Matt.
Even if you don't drink coffee, they have other options for you that are delicious.
I think they can turn you into a coffee drinker.
They did.
I was going to say, 4 years ago, Matt wasn't a coffee drinker. Now, he can't even get enough of it.
That's right, especially the Freedom Brew.
That's right. So, all right, my good news story this week, I'm going to give a shout-out to Rowan Ostra. Rowan fished that same exact bass fishing tournament that Waze was just talking about over at Okoboji. And he went ahead and just popped off a 7.2 2.8 pounder. I think
7.3.
7.3.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just an average weekend. No big deal. Went ahead and popped off a 7.7 pounder. So hats off to him. Caught it on chatterbait. I'd actually been talking with his dad, and I told him, I said, well, you know what you got to do.
Yeah.
You got to throw yourself a chatterbait. And he does. Gets it done. So hats off to Rowan. Very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I guess mine is going to be, I'm just going to give a shout out to my nephew, Easton. He had a swimming event. I don't think this past weekend, but the weekend before. Did awesome in it. It's always great to go over. I didn't get a chance to. I wasn't feeling very good. But seeing him, he's like a fish in water whenever he's swimming. So,
and that's a Special Olympics.
Special deal. Olympics, yep. Swimming event and everything like that. And if you've never been to one, you need to go. I mean, it's kind of refreshing with youth sports the way they are now, and everybody's, you know, has the best way to do it, and this is how a kid should do it and stuff like that. Those kids are out there because they purely are enjoying themselves, and all the parents and all the families that are there and friends that are cheering them on are all there just to cheer them on. So if you ever get the opportunity, definitely go out there and check them out. I mean, he can swim further than I can. I can tell you that much.
Nice. Nice.
So I'm going to give a shout out to Easton.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. All right, guys, that is episode 264. We appreciate every single one of you guys, and we'll see you. That was episode 264.
Right.
All of a sudden, I moved my notebook, and I saw last week's notes. That was episode 264. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you next week on episode 265. Later.